Hey everybody, this is Chad. Before we start the show, a couple things. We have a fantastic guest. I'm so excited. Sai is here, don't worry, but we're both here talking to a guest, and this episode gets serious in some points, but I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, finally, someone's family is as fucked up as mine. Maybe even more so. This is so fantastic, some of the stories. I'm excited for you to hear it. Also wanted to let you know that I am performing and recording for Epics in Los Angeles. It is this Thursday, the 28th. If you want tickets, they are free. I know I said traveling for comedy is stupid, but then if you remember, I also came back and I rebutted it. And I said, I didn't rebut it, I took it back. I said that, I just felt weird when it happened for me because I got some issues going on. But here's the deal. You want tickets, they're absolutely free. You go to tblus.com. That's TB like Tampa Bay, tblus.com/unprotected sets, SETS, unprotected sets. It's being filmed at the Mint. It's a jazz club, only 125 people. It's on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. I'm super excited about it. So I hope if you're in the area, I hope you can make it.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Let's start the show. Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, thank you for coming back, whatever day you're listening. Happy that day. Across from me, as always, is my greatest friend, Cyrus Amundsen.
Hello, Chad. It's good to be here. We're nearing local elections in Ohio, and I cannot wait. What a time of year. I have the biggest gaggle of fucking morons walking by my house with pamphlets trying to get me to vote for and it, either party. I don't care. I understand everybody, like anybody who's passionate about politics is like, vote local. That's where you make the difference. This is a fucking C-squad walking through my neighborhood trying to get elected to local shit.
I love this more than anything.
Guess who runs for local elections? The sort of people who can't win a bigger election. Carol, you suck. Get off my lawn. Maybe sidewalk.
So I have to say something quickly. Remember how I've been working on myself and trying to not have Chad in public moments and really getting better? Well, it turns out I'm always going to have Chad in public moments because now that I am a positive human being, I can't stand negativity. So now if you're being negative, that turns me into a Chad in public moment. I had a woman in front of me on the airplane. We were on the tarmac and we didn't leave for an hour and it was hot on the plane. And every 10 seconds, she would make the person she was flying with lift her headphone off her ear. And she would say something like, oh my God, it's still so hot. What are we gonna do? We're never gonna get there. And she kept doing that. And by the way, we were going to fucking Fargo. So who cares if we never get there? And she is nonstop. And so finally I go, lady, turn your attitude around or shut the fuck up. So there's nowhere for me to go. All of a sudden I'm this positive spirit for the universe. And now I can't stand negative energy. I don't know what to do.
Well, I remember off air throughout the pandemic when you were like, I don't think I'm going to get mad at people anymore. And I was like, I don't think you realize how pandemics work. You have not been exposed to the realities of the, like, you got stuck in a bubble and now you are back out in the world. And a world that I think the last 18 months has just increased. I think people right now are so willing to be like, hey, you know that shit I used to be ashamed of? Why don't I just fucking slather that out there? Why don't I just fucking rip it into public as much as I can?
Yeah, it was brutal because then her husband yelled at me. Fargo has a very small parking lot for their airport. And then her husband yelled at me and I dropped my bag. Like, I just let go of my bag and turned around and started walking. And then they got in their car. And by the way, I had slept 2 hours. I have a cold, COVID negative. Mm-hmm. I have a cold. And so I look like an absolute zombie. And so they just drove away. And I thought, what are you doing? This is like, I think you're luckier in Fargo. Because let me tell you, when I die, here's going to be the news report. Local comedian shot and killed. That's absolutely how it's going to go. I'm going to end up closed casket because I have too big of a gunshot wound in my body.
And then, all right, after your dad finds out that you've passed and assumes your identity, the paper will have to print a retraction. Mistake, local comedian actually alive, used car for sale.
Ages 19 years in process. Okay, listen, guys, I'm very excited about this. I've received the list of stories for today, and every single one of them made me laugh out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic comedian, has a show on Hulu. You see her everywhere. I'm so excited to introduce her. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Mack.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We've known Mary for 100 years. She started at the same club as us. Started in Minneapolis at Acme. And I can't wait. I also saw the stories and I'm super excited.
Yeah, the first time I saw Mary perform, I was blown away because I was just like, wait a minute, you don't have to do, not everyone has to do comedy exactly the same. How does this work? You get to go outside the lines a little bit. So I remember watching you from the back and just being like, what, this is fucking great.
Thank you, Chad. I remember always being totally embarrassed to perform in front of anybody from where I was from, because I wasn't ready to do comedy, so I would just do like a half an hour of ideas of things that could be comedy.
Well, I think that's comedy, kind of.
Yeah, it kind of is, but I never wrote it out. I was like, okay, if people like this after this paid production, then I'll consider writing a joke out of it.
There are two women in Phoenix, Arizona that saw me back in April that just this week posted on my Instagram that do not like just going on stage with ideas. Mm. They want it flushed out. They want it to be as funny or funnier as everything you've ever done on Pandora.
Okay, I know we're not getting into the story, but so they waited this many months to say, we didn't think you prepared for that show?
I wore a shirt that I didn't realize looked like a brick wall. And I also didn't realize a brick wall was going to be behind me this weekend. So
Were you stir crazy?
I was at Goodnights in Raleigh, North Carolina, which, by the way, thank you for every single person but six of you that came out.
Yeah.
Such a fun weekend. Also, Virginia Beach. That was awesome. So I appreciate everyone that made it to the shows. But I wrote comedian or chameleon, just a dumb thing for Instagram because I don't post very much and I always get in trouble for not posting. You get it. And so then this woman wrote this big, long post. Her comment was, I'm not sure. I saw him back in April in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very disappointed to see him in real life. He seemed so confident and so funny on his Pandora station. And then I saw him in real life and it was quite the disappointment. And I was just like, well, then pick fucking chameleon.
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean you don't know?
That's so bad. So I'm not sure. I was disappointed to see him in real life. So she should be extra happy that you're posting on social media instead.
Exactly. Not real life, lady.
Five stars.
Soak it up.
Yeah, sorry. There's all of that.
That's all right. I got to hear this. I have to hear this story about your brother.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be on my CD too. And I'm going to try to do it not how it's done on stage so that we have more to work with.
Finally, a comedian brings something album worthy into this show. We could just Fucking guys like Mike Cronin who come in here like, I went to the store the other day. Is that a story? I don't know, Mike. Do you think it's a story?
Well, okay. So I have a brother who's been wanting to steal the ATM machine from our rural intersection for a really long time. he had been thinking about how to do it, talking about it, going over there, looking at it for years. Okay. Years. This brother, he was planning, and this brother doesn't have a driver's.
When I was younger, I don't know if you know this, but when I was 17, I concocted a saline solution to break into pop machines where you would spray it in the dollar changer and then it would cut all the circuits and you would get everything. Now, my plan before that was to do an ATM machine.
Oh, gosh.
And the friends that I was with talked me out of it. And thank goodness, because we broke so many pop machines that it was a felony. But if we would have tried an ATM, that's a federal offense, and that doesn't come off your record. The pop machines did, the ATM would not have. So I don't know if your brother knows that stealing an ATM is a federal offense and prison worthy.
Well,
but
he has had other federal offenses. So he wasn't aware
there's
of any
no
of those.
Pussy, Chad.
And that's the only way he sobers up, if he goes to jail for a couple years. So it's all a part of the plan. And it's cheaper than Hazelden. We don't have that kind of money. One time we put him into Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't have any right to open any kind of sobriety house or rehab whatsoever. It's like, oh yeah, let's have all the, you can't have the people who are the worst at something try to fix that thing because they're so bad.
Right.
So like right. It was a 3-day rehab. If you've been drinking every day, all day, blackout drunk for 35 years, Wisconsin says, hey, how about 3 days in a lodge next to the brewery, Chad?
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, and if you get through the 3 days, you get a ticket to go to the Leinenkugel's tour.
That's exactly. You could have walked there. You could have walked there. Well, he had to walk there. He doesn't have a driver's license. So, hey, these are already bits that are better than what I plan on recording.
I have a question. Is your brother my dad?
I could maybe. He's your dad.
All right.
He is 17 years older than me. But here's the thing. He's had a really hard life. Like, he's been, if you call it freelance, he had been working as a carpenter, right? But you get a bad name if you're drinking at work and things are crooked. Mostly if things are crooked, you get a bad name. So he had to stop that ages ago. So he's just got all this time to think about it. Like, and then he'll take side jobs, but it's been really rough for him. Like, he's always broke. It's just really sad, broke, alcoholic. He got ran over by the skidder a few years ago, and a lot of people don't know about the skidder, and that's like, it's like a more aggressive bulldozer people use.
I was gonna say, is the skidder the guy who runs the rehab?
That should be skidder, the name of the guy who runs rehab. It should be.
Hey skidder, get your ass in here. There are two people drinking Leinenkugels, and it is their third day.
Skidder had a few and killed another one of our inpatients again.
Is there anything more Wisconsin than he went to rehab next to a brewery and then got run over by a skidder?
Well, he didn't get ran over by the skidder until he got home. So,
oh, yeah, okay.
Because the rehab didn't work. Surprise. Anyways, so like a lot of people listening to you might not know a skidder is like a more aggressive bulldozer, and it's like used up there for people like that want to clear their land or if they're bored. But Scott was actually on a job, and his partner at this job for excavating this site, his name was Arm. That's his name. So Skidder isn't far off, but this guy's name is Arm. My mom says it's Swedish. So he gets run over by the Skidder, and
Can I ask a question before you? Is it spelled ARM?
Yes.
Awesome.
I think it might be short for Armand. But also, I'm
no.
Like, is that Swedish?
It's not. That's definitely not. I think it's this guy's just.
Are.
I don't agree with your mom. I come from very Scandinavian roots, and I've heard a lot of Thorbjorns. We know a Chell. I've never heard like it's Hans and Franz, and there's Arm.
Hans, Franz, and Arm,
Arm sounds like he might eat olives, and that's not very Scandinavian.
Well, anyways, so this skitter, maybe it wasn't even a skitter because they were both drunk, but the problem with it was the problem with it was it didn't have wheels. Like, this is a legit bit that I do. It had tracks. So can you imagine? It had tracks. So it takes a long time to get ran over by it. Like, it's not just a clump in a clump. It's a and like, you got to be under there. So you have to be patient is what the point is. So he did have to go to the hospital with crushed lungs. And then yeah, he's always seems to be okay. And he comes back to his shack, right? And then he goes through his arm the next spring, or goes through his leg the next spring with a skill saw. And so then he's really hobbling, just like
I'm glad you corrected yourself and said leg, because I didn't know if it was his appendage or his
his
business
friend.
partner. Yeah.
Yeah, he cut into Arm's leg pretty good there. There was a fair amount of blood.
So he's really, I mean, it's been rough, right? And so, like, he really wants to say steal this ATM machine, and I want him to have it. Like, I just want him to have it. Something has to go right. Plus, that's a long time in jail, so he'll sober up for free. And he brags about it too. He always brags about, do you know the American population has to pay $76 a day for me to be in jail? And that he's and that's like,
It's a
that's
good
more than you
brag.
spend on a hotel. So it is so okay. Where are we? Oh, so I want him to have it, right? And then he'll go down there. And our bank at the time, before all the rural banks closed, was a mobile home. So the bank in our unincorporated rural intersection, A&H, was a mobile home. And so the
Right.
ATM, Cy, have you ever tried to fit an ATM machine into a mobile home before?
No, I would assume you'd have to build a mobile home around the ATM.
You are correct. And we don't have that kind of money. So the ATM machine's outside, right? Because they
Okay.
can't get it in the door. So then the bank, they're like, well, we're gonna have to pave the parking lot now so we can bolt down the ATM. Because you can't bolt down into dirt. You can't, Chad, have you ever tried to bolt something down into dirt?
Yes, I certainly have.
Did it work?
Absolutely not.
Right. So you gotta
A
pay.
jungle gym landed on my children.
Oh
Yes,
no,
correct.
it really
Yeah, it's all
happened.
right. It's okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It wasn't a whole jungle gym, it was monkey bars only, but yes,
Oh
correct.
gosh. Oh yeah. You gotta put some concrete down there. So we got the thing bolted in. Then they put up four pillars around it, and then a steel roof. And in my bit, I say that it's the safest place to be in a tornado. Like, that's what we do with that drill in school. All the kids chain themselves to the ATM machine. We've never lost one. So it's in there. And my brother will hobble over from his shack through the woods, right? And he has to start out. He starts out before bank hours, but he's so slow that he doesn't get there until people are at the bank. And he'll walk around. He walks around the ATM machine looking at it, and it's creepy. And then what happens is my nephew comes over to the bank because my nephew manages the bank. And it's not his
He's
kid,
got
it's
an
not.
inside man, and this is his plan.
Well, listen, my nephew's a goody-goody. My nephew, with ma bank manager, comes out and he's like, "What are you doing, Uncle Scott? You don't even have an account here." And Scott doesn't have a bank account. But Scott, for real, tells my nephew, "Well, I'm just looking at how far these leg bolts go down in the ground in case they want to steal this thing." Because other than wanting to rob the bank, Scott's pretty honest. And then I'm like, "Whoa, the ball's rolling. The community is aware. Like, everybody's rooting for Scott, you know?" I'm like, oh fudge. how are you going to do it? How you don't have a driver's license. You don't want to use a skitter. That's bad memories. You don't want to get PTSD when you're robbing the bank. So then my brother says, he goes, well, some of these lawn tractors got a lot of torque on them. And I'm like, oh, God. Well, okay. I guess he would know. And because I tried to figure it out. And I was like, we're 3 hours from the Canadian border. I guess, do you have a utility trailer? And then he goes, no. And he doesn't have any money or nothing. So he's like, I'm just going to yank it out and go. And they go 10 miles an hour. So I tried to figure out 10 miles an hour, normally 3 hours to Canada. How long is that? And then you get worried because half of it's like state or national forest. So, and the fire warning is so high and there's already been fires, right? So like, have you ever drug? He's going to raw dog an ATM machine up the asphalt road to Canada. And that's steel on asphalt. It's a lot of sparks, guys.
So many sparks.
And the whole problem to me is like, well, he's not going to get arrested by the police. He's going to get arrested by the DNR for sparking up the forest. And then they're going to be like, oh, is that an ATM machine? And, you know, so it's a problematic plan. But here's a real twist in the story now. The bank closed. And this was all Scott's hopes and dreams. They took their ATM machine. They could have respected us by at least leaving an ATM machine up there. But they didn't even leave that. They just took everything, right? So
I'd love to see them leave the ATM, take the cash out, but just a note that says, great job, Scott. Proud of you.
Well,
job well done.
I mean, at least it would have given some project to work on, even if there wasn't money in there. He might have just worked at it just for fun.
Now he's back to drunk skidding, and that's not going to end well.
Not for arm, anyways.
I don't know. So here's the next twist in the story is that Scott's shack burnt down. So, because you're like, this is the tragedy. It's like, it's high tragedy because this story isn't a comedy set, but it's like, it's so tragic because it just keeps getting sadder and sadder and sadder. And like, cause people are like, oh, poor Scott, all his hopes and dreams. And no, that's gone. The bank's gone. And now things can't get worse for Scott, but they can because his shack burnt down. And that, a lot of people, we didn't feel too bad. That happens if you tend to pass out a lot while, you know, smoking. And sure, you don't have running water. Like, you know what he did? His shack started on fire. So it took him about half an hour to walk. He doesn't have a phone either. So he had to walk through the trail to my sister's bar. Surprise, there's a trail from his shack to my sister's bar. And he...
Hold on. Is this just... Does your family have a town?
Yeah, it's the intersection of A, County Road A, and County Road H. My sister at least relinquished the bait shop, and now at least she doesn't have a monopoly on the bar and the bait shop. But
oh shit!
One of her daughters just bought a building next to, across the road from the bank for crafts. So now it's gonna be like just, it's a effing commune up there. But here's the next twist. There's like three twists. My sister, bait and bar mogul, Carrie, bought the bank.
Oh,
she bought
interesting.
The bank. Mobile home. $40,000, Si. Cheap for a bank, expensive for a mobile home. You know, they didn't even take the vault out or nothing, and it still looks like a bank in there. So, like, you got to undo it. I'm going to open a sandwich shop in there.
Well, so she didn't buy the actual business of the bank. She bought the building that the bank used to exist inside of.
She bought the structure. Yeah.
Sure.
So now, guess where Scott lives now?
In the bank.
You got it, Chad.
Yes.
Lives in the bank. And this is where it becomes a Shakespearean story. It's got irony in it because not only every morning does Scott have to look out at a bald spot in the parking lot where his dream was once bolted down to a freshly paved surface. It's gone. Not only that, he has to live within his failure. Do you see this? Like, he's living inside of the system. It's like the tag of the story is, I always say, he was ready to go to prison, but he wasn't prepared for emotional jail. That's the thing. But it's like, it's high tragedy and comedy, you know?
You see so many of these stories, like in movies, where people want to rob the bank, but the vault has this weight system or whatever, and they get stuck in the vault. And this has actually happened to your brother, but just in a roundabout way. I love it so much. He's like still stuck in that goddamn vault.
As somebody whose entire dream was to move and perform comedy and now is trapped inside a small town Wisconsin bank of a body, I can really connect to this story. I can really understand Scott's struggle.
Yeah. So like, it's just, it's really sad. And then my sister was like, Scott, if you got to go out and smoke, smoke in back so that people don't know you're living in my sandwich shop that's going to open someday. So like, it was so sad because there's just like a big parking lot in front of him, not even an ATM to block the view or nothing. So like, he's got to go out back and just sit there and do nothing. And even now to get to the bar, he has to cross a road, which is really dangerous for him to cross a road, whereas before at his shack he could just walk through the woods on a trail. And now it's like, oh, everybody was terrified that he's going to get ran over. It is a very busy intersection, bait shop, taxidermy, there was cheese for a while, and it's like all the hot spots of the county are basically at one intersection. It's high traffic area.
I would love if later we found out that this isn't a real town, but Mary has bought a huge plot of land and she keeps her family members drugged up and then kind of runs this fantasy world in her head, just like, and now Scott's going to live in a vault, but he has to cross the street. And then she hires people to drive fast across the street.
Or I can't remember what the movie is, but I think it starred John Cusack and it's from about like 15, 20 years ago. And it's all these characters at a hotel, and they keep getting murdered one by one by one by one, and they're all trying to figure out who the murderer is. And then the reveal at the end of the movie is it's a therapy session, and it's a guy with multiple personalities, and one of them is a murderer, and they're slowly killing off all his personalities to try to kill off the murderer. I would like if you just pulled out, and Mary is Scott and her sister and her nephew.
I want to see this John Cusack movie. You don't know the name of it?
It's called The Room, isn't it? Called The Room?
It's going to drive me absolutely insane, but I don't, according to Amber Harper, I don't care about this show enough to try very hard. So I am going to...
I don't know who this is, but this must be really an email that happened.
You. We may have gotten an email, and you know exactly who this is, and Amber Harper can eat my ass. I'll look up the movie.
Hey,
you already said that.
Hey, I've tried to sell a script about this intersection, and people.
It's called 1408.
1408 is the name of the movie.
Yeah, it must be the room in which he sees all these things from.
Or they're keeping European time, right?
That could be also that.
But 1408 sounds better as a room. I put number 1408 so I don't get confused.
What were you going to say? Sorry, when I interrupted you.
I tried to sell a script about this. Well, I didn't show it to hardly anybody, but about this intersection. And
The movie is called Identity. 1408 is a different movie. 1408 is also a John Cusack movie where a man who specializes in debunking paranormal occurrences checks into the fabled 1408 room in the Dolphin Hotel.
Ooh, sounds like a Halloween special.
Also, Dolphin Hotel sounds like a Disney Channel show. But yeah, Identity is, and believe it or not, one of Mary's uncles runs a Dolphin Hotel at the corner of A and H.
I'm trying to do some of the dialogue for Dolphin Hotel. A lot of the script is,
The name of the bait shop is Dolphin Hotel.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
That's a better joke. That was a better joke than mine. But I still knew the John Cusack movie. 1-1. It's 1-1 right now.
Oh, I didn't know we were keeping score.
Okay, so as long as we're on John Cusack, I love that movie. I want my $2. But I can never think of the name of the movie.
It's called...
Serendipity. Say Anything.
No, it's called To Live and Die in L.A., isn't it?
Maybe Say Anything. I don't know.
It's not Say Anything, because Say Anything is when... That's not that one. Okay. Say Anything is when he sits down and the dad goes, so what do you want to do? And he goes, well, I don't want to sell anything or buy anything or... I can't remember, produce anything. I don't want to buy anything that's produced. I don't want to produce anything that's bought. I don't want to sell anything that's produced. And he just goes round and round. And it's when that's when he holds up In Your Eyes on the juke. On
okay,
the
romantic
box.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big time romantic.
So we got to find that $2 movie. And you guys seem to like my story about the A&H intersection.
Oh, I love it. I think you should absolutely sell the script.
Well, guess what? We need to find some mogul of entertainment who is from my town, because anybody I ever talked about it to is like, people will never get it. Well, it's like, Jesus Christ, there's a whole visual in front of your face where people get it. Like, you explain it to them by showing them a picture of it. And this is what I don't care. I'm fired from everything anyways, probably. But this is where people in the entertainment business have been failing the United States population but I guess there's shows like, I haven't seen Fargo, the show yet, but I guess that's about, do they do a good job of the smaller towns or?
Yeah, like if you were to come up with the most fuckety people you've ever met in the Midwest, they really make it seem like that's all of us. But yeah, they do a pretty good job. Also, side note, Better Off Dead is the John Cusack movie. He plays
high school
student Lane Meyer, who is suicidal after his girlfriend breaks up with him shortly before Christmas.
To Live and Die.
Yeah.
See.
Thank you.
So close.
Thank you. I want my $2. I love that line.
Yeah, he keeps coming back, the little delivery, the paper delivery guy.
Yeah, I have a dog that's like that. And every time I see my dog, he's always sitting there staring at you, and I always say, I want my $2. This is my little dog.
I have to hear more about your family. You also have a story about your sister.
Yeah, this one's going to be a book. I can't say bad words about my sister because...
Is this the sister that owns the bar?
She owns the town, yeah. She owns a bar, bank, and bait shop.
She likes to have control. So, unfortunately, a little over a year ago, one of my sisters who doesn't want to have any control passed away, my sister Katie. And my sister... Carrie, you know, all summer, that summer, I was like, hey, we should get online. Because my sister Katie had no family. We were her family. So my sister Katie's mom, my mom, is alive. I'm alive. Carrie's alive. We're all here. We're her closest family. So all summer, I was asking, hey, we don't want to necessarily get our headstone from the funeral home because it's super expensive. So we can just do it ourselves somewhere else. And it wouldn't be a problem, but why are we concerned about this? Because we've had 8 deaths in my family. So that's a lot of tombstones.
Jeez. Holy shit.
So it's a concern, right? So it's not that we're cheap. It's just a concern. And so all summer I said, yeah, Carrie, we better get online and then show some to mom and pick something nice and put it up there. And so, cause we had more people coming, cause we also had my brother's funeral coming. So I was like, well, I guess we better get this done before the people for my brother's funeral come. But I'm like, nobody else seems to be upset. This show got very sad. We started with a very happy I mean, not happy. That's also a sad story, but it was funny at least. But here's the deal.
Sure.
My sister.
Well, I have so many
that
questions.
That hilarious
Time
story
out.
About your brother who got run over by a skidder and is a raging drunk and now lives inside a prison of his own dreams. The good times.
Okay, so I'll just say this thesis so that you guys aren't in a hole here. So my sister, without talking to anybody, somehow had a convention with her girls. She's got four girls. They all live on the same road. It's really weird. They had their own convention.
It's not weird. I think that's cool.
My sister called me up. She went called me up last so a year ago, end of last September, and she goes, "Hey, guess what? I got Katie's tombstone." And I was like, "Oh, really?" She's like, "Yeah, you want to know what I put on it?" And I was like, "Okay." She goes, I put God, beer, family on it. And then she goes, you know, she was very apologetic for a second. She goes, because Katie did like God in her own way.
That's like, the part she was apologizing for?
He was apologizing for the part most people have on their headstones. That's the part she felt might not go over so good with everyone else.
So, I have a lot of questions. Okay, so when you were having this conversation about the headstone, Katie had already passed.
Oh, yeah, and I had been trying to get one for a long time. And then Carrie just went off on her own. She doesn't even have the internet, so she had to get all her girls to get their data phones. And then she goes, "What do you think of it? What do you think of it?" And then I go, well, I got real quiet. And I was like, well, I guess I don't really like it. I never said before in my life, have never been asked my opinion by my sister. So I said, well, I guess to seize the day, I'll just share my thoughts. I don't really like it. And I, she goes, and don't tell mom what it says. And I go, and I also feel like maybe you could have included me and mom since she doesn't have any other family. And then my sister hung up the phone and has never talked to me again. And this has been
over a year. Wow.
Over a year. And we didn't even talk at the next week. My brother's funeral was happening. We didn't even talk there.
That wasn't Scott.
No, that was my younger brother. Okay. So, yeah, but we thank God you saved that first story, Chad. but she did text me this. She did text me this before how does she text? Oh, they got her an iPad. She doesn't have a cell phone, but she has an iPad that can send an iMessage. Sure. So she texted me from her bar account, because that's all she's got. She goes, "Fine, I'll put the fucker in my garage then." That's the last thing she says. "Never talk to me again." That's the last thing she's ever said to me. It's funny and sad because I still haven't talked to her. And it's like, what's going to happen when mom dies? We're going to have to talk at some point, or are we just going to each get our own headstone? Three days later, I texted my niece, my one niece who lives not in that town. She lives in New York City. So I was like, I'll just make a joke about this because that's how I deal with things. I make jokes and I go, hey, were you part of that group that designed a white trash Etsy state fair slogan for my sister's headstone? Thinking my other snarky niece might laugh. But what my snarky niece did was she showed the text to her mom, my sister.
Oh.
And then she got all of them mad at me. So now I'm the asshole. But I didn't say they were white trash, but all it would be Carrie, my sister, and her four daughters all got on and was like, "You called us white trash. We're not." Hey. News alert. I always thought I might be white trash, but according to these ladies, We're not white trash, apparently. And I never called them white trash, but what a relief to find out I'm officially not white trash. And yet I have a sister with Viking colored tombstone that reads God, beer, family. My sister was a gay progressive lady who happened to enjoy wearing camouflage and living in the woods. And so my other sister took this storyline way too far and puts a Toby Keith lyric on her headstone. And they don't see the problem. They don't see the problem. And guess what? Guess what? I made a joke about it, but it was true. They got it off Etsy. They got it off Etsy.
Really was Etsy.
Yeah. I'm like, did they even come up with it themselves? So I started googling lyrics and t-shirt sayings, and I haven't seen God Beer Family yet, but I'm sure it's out there. If anybody wants it, go ahead, make it a t-shirt so the whole dream comes true, the whole thing comes true.
I think they sell that t-shirt in 80% of small towns in America,
right? And I'm like, it's so obvious. And the sad thing is, I have another niece who is in marketing and should have known. She should have known that's like a Applebee's saying, right? Like that's a t-shirt you buy at Applebee's.
Sure.
But it's beyond, they're so in this insular world, is that how you pronounce that? That they
sure.
just can't see beyond it or even think to include my mother and me. My mother lives 12 miles away. That's just too far. And they go, you could have called us. Well, we were in a hurry. Yeah, we were in a hurry. I'm just like, well, it takes 30 seconds to say, what do you think about God Beer Family? No? Okay, the next one. You have an alt ready.
You know when I want people to be in a hurry? When you're making a decision about forever.
It's literally etched in stone, Chad.
Yeah,
literally.
That's what I want. That's when I want people to be in the most of a hurry.
Well, guess what? My mom and I, we got one of the nieces to apologize and we're going to order a different headstone and put it there. And then I guess out of spite, we need to show it to them and be like, how do you guys feel about this? We just want to be inclusive and like show them like rest in peace or something, you know? Yeah.
Sure. Well,
and if you're going to go with a Toby Keith vibe to your headstone.
My sister would have hated that.
Well, there are so many, but even if she would have hated it, I mean, she's, you know, there are so many better options. You could have gone with should have been a cowboy. That's great on a tombstone.
Drunk on a plane. How about?
You could have gone with how do you like me now? That's a great tombstone.
That's a great one, Si.
Dude, even I love this bar, which is very clever. Like, I get it. The bar is the hole that she lives in now. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff there. He has a song called As Good As I Once Was. There's a lot of good Toby Keith. There's a lot of good Toby Keith, you know.
I am going to spend the $2,000 to put As Good As I Once Was just for my own chortles next to God Beer Family. And then I'll buy the real one in my mom's name. But Jesus, I just want to see how I can top that pile of shit headstone.
You know where I'd love to see a headstone with Vikings colors that said God, Beer, Family? Right outside of a bar that's across from a bait shop. That's where I'd love to see it. Right on the steps.
Well, we could put it there, actually.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's a perfect place for it.
That's thank you. Thank you so much. That's a great place for it.
It doesn't have to live in her garage. Let her know. It's time to open this family back up. There's been too much pain.
As a podcast that takes a special interest in trying to heal families, I would love to have all of your sisters and nieces on just to really ratchet this thing through. And I got to tell you, I play one hell of a white trash referee. I'm courtesy of the red, white, and blue, baby.
Si, I'm glad you brought that up. Mary, it's time to heal. Justin, let him in the room.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding. That'd be awesome.
I was so scared. None of them would talk to me. Oh my God.
This is a long ruse. And then they don't even try to heal. It just becomes like a roast.
Oh, yeah.
I, I just want to play guess which one is from New York City.
She's a model. You want to know why she's a model? The one in New York City?
Sure.
Because she wasn't smart enough to run the bait shop. So she had to be a model. The whole plan
was she
runs the bait shop. And then you want to know how we found out she wasn't smart enough to run the bait shop? Well, she just graduated from high school and her car was down there. We have a trail also between the houses that goes from where I grew up to where my sister lives. So my dad went down there because my niece came up. I was visiting. She came up. She goes, "Grandpa, I got a flat tire. Will you come down and look at it?" And then he went down there and she goes, "Grandpa," this is my model niece who we had high hopes for. She goes, "Grandpa," she's 18 or 18, 19, "but why is it only flat on the bottom?"
And, oh, boy.
And then my dad retold me this story sitting at the kitchen table. He told me the story and he goes, "Well, I guess she could run the bait shop." And then he wasn't even smart enough to run the bait shop. So this is plan C.
Modeling. I could just see her handing some night crawlers to some New York City mogul. And he goes, "Ooh, I love your hands. Have you ever considered modeling?"
Well, funny you say that, because she used to paint her fingernails at the register where people would want to be checking out with their hunting licenses and minnows and shit. And she'd be painting her nails. And she wore high heels to the job. But she wore high heels to hot pink high heels and paint her nails at the bait shop job, checking people, supposed to be counting out waxies and checking people out.
I have spent a fair amount of my youth growing up in bait shops. We had a bait shop at my family's resort.
See?
We would go get that bait from a larger bait shop. The grocery store has a bait shop near my parents. I am very familiar with bait shops, and I have seen the sexually repressed Daryls that go into these places.
Oh my God, there's a Daryl in my script, Si. You know exactly who this is.
I'm telling you, you got a 19-year-old model in high heels painting her fingernails at the bait shop, you're going to have every fucking house dad in the county. Well, I think I'm out of minnows again.
Yeah, you go to his lake place, and on the shore there are a million dead minnows because he just keeps dumping them out.
Do you want to know? I tried to live in the back of the bait shop because
that checks out. That checks out.
I tried because it was 2009, and I had 2008, 2009, and I was living in Los Angeles, and then I went out. I heard sounds from outside, and I saw a gang shooting outside my window in Los Angeles. And then I was like, "Oh no!" And I saw where they all went. And then I ran. There's like 10 police cars that pulled up, and I ran outside to help the police. Nobody else in LA helps the police. And then finally, I'm like, "They went that way." And then I realized, "Oh my God, they live here. Like they live in these buildings. They know I ratted on them. I told on them. I have to get out of here." So within less than a month, I was on the road driving back to Wisconsin and tried to live in the bait shop in the back apartment. But my sister wouldn't turn off the buzzer that goes off at 6 a.m. When people come in, every time they open a door because they want their bait fast.
Sure.
They want it fast and fresh right before they go out in the boat. And so then she wouldn't turn it off. It was just too annoying. And then I ended up moving back down to the cities.
Well, I know a couple people in that gang, and they were asking me about you. And they were like, we're supposed to kill her, but she lives in a bait shop, and we think that's worse. So they just let you live in the bait shop. They go, "We heard there's a buzzer that goes off, so we're just going to let her live it out."
My dad and I moved all my shit into the bait shop. It was a pretty nice apartment back there, too. And we moved all our stuff, my stuff in there. And my fucking, I'm sorry, guys. I'm a clean comic. You might not want swears on this.
We love swears.
She wouldn't.
Swears are our home base.
We encourage it.
She wouldn't. This is the same sister with the tombstone. She refused to turn off. I mean, like, I was going to work for her. I was going to pay her rent. It's just a win situation for her. More of a win for her, lose for me. And she wouldn't cut the wire to stop the buzzer. And so it's like, anytime, I couldn't handle it. And then I just left.
Can you? It's like, and I keep replaying this family. You keep introducing members. It's so much fun.
Well, there's a lot of members, and it gets sad, but it can be funny if I get outside of it. You know, if I look at it from.
Right, and here's the great thing: it's like all the listeners are outside of it, so I bet it's been Giggle Fit Central.
Yeah,
I
this hope was so. Listen, this was so great, Mary. Thank you so much for being a part.
Yeah, you. Tell people what you want to promote, where you're going to be, where they can find you.
Let me do it here too, because I loved your last album, and yes. I love all your albums. You know, there's five of them now, right? Are we up to five?
Yeah, they're not tight. There's two that I never released because it hurt too bad to go back. It hurt too bad to go back and go through the, even though it's just like the audio footage, it still hurt me too bad.
I mean, sure. Mrs. Taco Man, your last one, I fucking loved. Pig Woman was so great. If you watch the show Solar Opposites, you can hear Mary on there. And
on Hulu.
And she's touring all over the place now that we're back open. And it looks like the best place, people, they can get it on your website, marymaccomedy.com. But also, if you follow Mary Mac Comedy, all one word, on Instagram, you can get all of her dates as well as the goings on with her and the humans who are around her. So, and you're going to be in the Southwest coming up soon here, aren't you?
I'm going to Southeast Wilmington, Southeast. North Carolina. Wilmington. Yep, Dead Crow comedy for Halloween, and then Des Moines and Omaha one nighters to be like, remember me, I used to work here. That's what that tour is called. November 2 and 3. So, and then you guys probably have more fans in California. I don't even know if anybody knows me. I've never been to those improvs before.
They usually swarm your Instagram, and I just checked before I said it. Mary puts all of her dates up on her Instagram a week or two in advance. So Chicago, keep your eyes peeled.
And a personal plug. I'd like to say December 18th,
yes,
you and Tim Harmston are going to be in Battle Lake at Stella's, which is like kind of a personal project.
Yeah.
So Battle Lake, Minnesota, and check that out. There's only 100 and some tickets for that one, but it's a very, very fun deal. So make sure you check out all her shows.
Thanks.
Follow her on Instagram. And the show on Hulu is great.
Thank you, so guys. I was excited to see you today. I haven't really seen any comics much other than the ones that have been coming to open at these clubs. So it's nice to see old faces, not old, old friends, old familiar faces, but youthful old faces.
You were right the first time. You didn't have to.
Okay.
I feel like people are 10,000 years old.
Okay.
Well, just a reminder, I got to go.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Am I closing the show? Okay. Bye.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.